Thank you. Thank you for the wonderful song. Merry Christmas, Donation, the Lord of Yahutishi. Celebrate Christmas. There are losers and winners in Christ's birth. And I think the important part of that message was, how do I get to become a winner with the birth of Christ? And we found out that it is repentance. The first things that Christ had taught was that to enter the kingdom of God, you need to repent. And so for us to understand Christmas and enter into winning with the birth of Christ is to repent of our sins. The second message dealt with how the priest Zechariah did not have faith. He certainly believed that God exists, but the angel told him he has no faith. What is faith? Faith is to believe that God will do what he said he's going to do. Once Zechariah experienced the fulfillments of what God said about the birth of John the Baptist, then Zechariah began to experience faith, to have faith in himself, in God. And that faith was planted in him through the fulfillments of what God said. So you and I cannot have faith unless God intervene and give us faith. The third message was last week. We talked about the angels who came to announce the birth of Christ, that the children read the passage. But we also recognize that God did not just send an angel. God sent soldiers from heaven. And what's that all about? And I said it was a war for your salvation, for my salvation. Jesus came not at a moment that was peaceful, but it was war in heaven and on earth. And it is that war that God wants you to know and want me to know, that you are so precious to God, that your soul is so important That's why God sent his son. And it is war to win your heart, to win your mind, to win your soul back to God. And today, I want to conclude the message of Christmas by saying that once you take hold of Christ into your life, it is enough. It is enough. Let's turn to another subject. As you plan for the new year, have you thought about life? What would be enough for you? And when would it be enough for you? Enough money? Enough days of work? From birth, we cried out to our mother. As we grow, we long for material things, candies, cookies, good food, good clothes, good grades, good school, good friends, good jobs, good cars, good homes. And then we want to have good children and good saving account, and good retirement. And some even want a good grave. When would those good stuff be enough? Bây giờ nên nhớ từ lúc tiết tên mà bên trời đau dạ, mà dùng lại bên tóc kiến trời, bên lúc họ vùng để chỉ giàu đi. Nên bắt đầu xa đua hôm nay luôn nên tiền, nông từ của tóc kiến trời thì lại giàu. Và lúc cuộc khi đó bé thì, nếu họ có tàu chủ yếu sử lao, nhớ từ hậu có lời, nếu họ có cầu chủ yếu sử, họ có tổ chủ, nếu họ chủ yếu sử, họ có tổ chủ trời sinh, nông đã giàu. Nhà các chính chỉ đạo mua cái giáo xe này, cái nhà tu cái sinh đời chỉ đạo nhà họ có, thì các chỉ đạo bảo tu cái sinh nó. You haven't embraced Christmas. You haven't understood what Christmas is all about. So the message today, I will be speaking from Luke chapter 2, verse 21 to 40. Bây giờ nhìn qua cái nhóm đời lúc cả trong ông cái năng cầu ý chồng, cái bác chồng đời. And I'm going to take a bit of time to read, but it is the most wonderful part of having Christ in your life, and it is enough. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, that is Jesus, he was named Jesus, the name that the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolations of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It has been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. Simon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of the people, of all the people, a light for revelations to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. 예배 다 Heavenly Father, on this Christmas day, we come together with our hearts and with our mind, not only to receive your message, but to receive your Son, Jesus. We prepare our hearts and mind not only to enjoy and celebrate this day, but that we will be celebrated in heaven today with all the angels, because our names are written in the book of life, that we are born again and we are adopted as your children. Be with us today. Speak to those of us who have not received the Lord Jesus and made us your own through faith. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We read here about Simon, who wanted to see the Savior. And God made known to him that he would see the Savior before he died. On the day of presenting Jesus to God in accordance with God's law, Simon was led by the Holy Spirit to come into the temple courts. We pick up here again in Luke chapter 2, verse 28 to 32. Simon took him in his arm and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. This caught my attention. I asked the question, like most of you, what is happening here in the text? Simon took hold of Jesus in his arm. He embraced the child. He gave thanks to God and said that now his eyes have seen salvation and he was ready to die in peace. Seeing the Savior is seeing salvation. Embracing the Savior, taking on the Savior, that is satisfying. That is enough for Simon. He was ready to die. So for us here, we have been waiting for salvation. We have never had enough of money. We never have enough of houses. We have never had enough of cars, things in this world. And if we let our hearts longing after those things, we will live until the day we die. We will never find satisfaction. As rich as Donald Trump, our president-elect, there's no satisfaction. As old as he is, as old as Ronald Reagan, in their 70s, in their 80s, there's no satisfaction. Nothing is enough until you have the Savior. Then it is enough. Your life will attain its purpose. Your goal in life will be complete with Christ, not with material things. Things that we've seen in this world, things that we long after in this world, will never satisfy our soul, will not fill the emptiness that is inside you. You cannot fill your heart, your soul, with this whole world. Even if you have half of America, it will not fill your soul. It will not fill your heart. Only Jesus would fill your heart. Why God made you that way? God made you that way so that your heart will ever longing for the Savior. If you would open your Bible with me to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 to 20. It's a bit long here, but I want you to know that God had purposefully allowed your heart to long for things until you know that things in this world will not fill your heart. Only Christ will fill your heart. So if you turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 to 20, we'll read together here. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is therefore, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwelled in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. My friend, what the Bible is telling us here is that your heart will never be satisfied until Jesus is in your heart. Christmas will just be an empty celebration year after year. You can exchange gifts. You can give someone the best gift that you can, whether cars, homes, a piece of real estate. That will not satisfy the heart of man, because God intentionally to fill that void in the human heart with only God's Son. And until you have God's Son in your heart, and I have in mine, we will never be satisfied. We will never have enough. Christ is enough. Only when you have Christ in your heart would you have enough? This is so important. That's why God went to war to bring this salvation to you. If you miss this, you miss God. You miss life. You miss the meaning of living. The second point I want to make is that when Jesus is compared to all the things in this world, and if you do that, you will know what kind of hearts do you have. When the Holy Spirit came and spoke through Simon to Mary and Joseph, this is what Simon told Mary and Joseph. We can pick up here on verse 33 to 35. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that is the purpose, the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. A sword will pierce your own soul too." I want to talk about the purpose of Jesus' birth, and that is to reveal hearts. You think you know your heart. I think I know my heart. But the Bible said that you will not know your heart until you place Jesus side by side with all the things that you want, all the things in this world. Then at that point, you will know your heart, what your heart is longing after. Since Christ is the supremacy of all things, he revealed the human heart. Your heart is the most important thing for God when it comes to your salvation. Many assume they have salvation but fall short because they do not check their hearts. Have you checked your heart? What does it mean to check your heart? Put Christ side by side with all things that this world has to offer. Money, wealth, fame, whatever. Let your heart decide. Which one is your heart gravitating toward? I don't have to tell you. Your heart will tell you. Your heart will reveal itself to you. Because your heart will naturally gravitate toward the world, toward worldly things. Because of sin, the human heart is deceived. It finds Christ less than sufficient. You probably find your heart saying things like this: Christ is everything, I know that. But I am still in the flesh. I still need to eat, drink, to be sheltered from the weather, to get by from day to day. What does that say? You said, your heart would say, Christ is enough. But essentially your heart said, no, I'm not satisfied with Christ alone. Or your heart would say, yes, Christ is everything, but I can't just leave everything and go. You see, I have my children to care for, to be educated. I have so much loan to pay for. I have parents to support. What does your heart say? Your heart said, yes, Christ is everything. But my heart is telling me I want a lot more of the world. And when you actually follow your heart, that heart leads you away from Christ into worldly things. Or your heart may say, yes, Christ is everything, but I'm still young. I figure I need to enjoy my youth like Solomon said. When I am older, then I will get back to follow him. What does your heart is saying? Your heart is being deceived that God is not enough, that Jesus is not enough, and that you must have pleasure if we fail to check our hearts, we will fall because of Jesus. You see, the Jews of Jesus' day, they follow him to gain benefit just like us. They want healing. They want food. They want fame. Once they receive those, then they left Jesus. Once they receive food, once they receive healing, then they left Jesus. They're not different from you. They're not different from me. That's how they fall. They let their hearts follow the things of this world. When Jesus demanded them to give up everything, to leave the parents, to leave the brothers and sisters, then they left Jesus. They left with sad faces. Besides wealth and jobs, the hardest thing to leave are our families and friends. Even when we know we must leave them for the kingdom, we find it very hard. Last week, Jens, Meng, and Joe came and we talked about seeking the lost, part of our mission. Jesus had demonstrated that as human beings, we can only keep a dozen friends. In order for them to spread the gospel to others, Jesus had to die, to leave them, to depart from them so that they would have a room in their life to bring in other people in. And Jesus said that was the best thing to happen to them. But the disciples didn't understand. They would rather hold on to him. But Jesus said no. Our church has come to that point. The original members have about 12 friends each, or maybe a little bit more. And when you have that many people in your life, you don't have room for anyone else. Because God had created you with the ability to hold on only that many friends. And if you fill them with your relatives, your brothers, your sisters, you don't even have friends, room for other people. Who's passing from us is God's intervention to awaken our minds and our souls. We can't keep holding on to our friends like we are doing now. God wills that we must intentionally break our circle of friends in order for us to bring the message of salvation to other people. If we don't break willingly, God will break us to make it happen. What I'm trying to say here at this point is that have you checked your heart? Check your heart. Listen to your heart. Is Christ enough for me? If Christ is not enough for me, if my heart longing for a home, longing for a cause, longing for fame, gravitating toward the things of this world, then it is time for you to pray, for me to pray. Lord, my heart is longing for things in this world. My heart is not satisfied with Christ alone. And I could fall, and I don't want to fall. Lord, mold my heart, change my heart to follow Jesus. To keep what you tell me that Jesus is enough. If you keep checking your heart like that, then you'll be fine. But if you don't check your heart, you could fall like the Jews in Jesus' day. And Christmas would not mean anything at the very end for you. The last point I want to talk about is that Christ is our Redeemer. To understand the sufficiency of Christ as our Redeemer, we must understand what redeeming us means in God's economy. Most of us have a narrow understanding of redemption. we only understand redemption in terms of marketing principles. For example, we receive coupons in the mail, and we can take the coupon into the grocery store and go to Target or wherever, and then we redeem for the goods that is there. And for those of us in this generation and in other generations, we think of redemption like that. Even the Jews in Jesus' day think of redemption like that. If I am poor, I want Jesus to redeem me and make me rich. If I don't have a job, I want Jesus to redeem me and give me a job. If I have a curse in my family and I never have children, I want Jesus to redeem me, break that curse so that I can have children. Redemption in our human thinking is like that. So in Jesus' time, the Jews, they have different thinking about redemption. Different people in society demand different things. The ruling council had its own agenda. The wealthy class, another. The poor, another understanding of redemption. The Pharisees, they had their own understanding of redemption. They want a better life, and they understand that only God can change their circumstances. They want the Davidic kings to come back and rule their lives. And even for Jesus' disciples, after Jesus is raised from the dead, what they asked in terms of redemption was, is it time now for you to restore the nation of Israel? So for them, redemption is to reestablish the nation of Israel. Like the Hmong people, we are homeless, we are nationless. So redemption for us is give us a piece of land so that we can live by ourselves without other people ruling over us. That's the understanding of redemption. And that is marketing. Those who thrive under Rome wanted nothing else. Mary mentioned those who were sitting on thrones, those who were proud in their hearts, and those who were rich. They didn't want redemption of Jerusalem because their Jerusalem was already great. We are like the Jews of Jesus' day. We want redemption, but redemption in our way, in the way that we perceive it. If I am poor, I want redemption in that I will be rich. If I'm not educated, I want redemption that my children will be educated. And then if we have everything, we said, I don't want redemption anymore. My life is great as is. You can have Christ, but not me, because I have enough. Unless they knew the truth about the Savior, like Simon, they would never understand redemption in the way that God had prepared for them. You see, after Jesus went into heaven and the Holy Spirit came, and the people who believe in Jesus finally understood what redemption is, the Bible taught us that they bring the belongings, they sell the real estate, they sell their home, and bring the money in together and said, I am willing to be poor. I'm satisfied with Christ. Whoever needs money, come and get it. Whoever needs clothes, come and get it. whoever need a place to stay, come and stay with me, because I am satisfied. That is what redemption is. Redemption, once you have Christ, once your sins are forgiven, you have no need. Redemption is complete. See, redemption is God put you back into paradise. God put you back into the Garden of Eden, where everything is satisfied. When you are visiting by God on a daily basis, you don't need anything else. Redemption is redeem you to a relationship with the Lord, with God, to be God's son again, to be God's daughter again. That is the redemption. And sin is the one that keeps you away. And once your sins are forgiven and you are brought back to God, you're in a relationship with God, redemption is complete. And if you understand redemption in the way that God prepared for you and for me, you will be like the early Christians in Jerusalem. I am willing to be poor. The implication for us on this Christmas is that God had already sent his son to die and to save the world. Not everyone will receive him, but as many as people would receive him, Christ gives them the right to become children of God. That is the ultimate aim of Christ's birth. I rejoice in my salvation. I have received Jesus as Lord and Savior when I was 13 years old. Never regret it. I have become Christ's servant for the last 14 years and enjoy serving him. Christmas is a renewal of our faith that Christ alone is sufficient for our needs. It is not the gift that we give to one another. Jesus is everything. And when we have him, behold him, then we have attained the goal of life and we realize that Jesus is enough. When we have him, everything is immaterial. No matter what our worldly circumstances is, we are happy, we are satisfied. If anyone in this room have just received Jesus today or recently, embrace Jesus and take Jesus into your life and into your heart for the first time this year, we would like to celebrate with you, because Christmas is really meaningful when you have Jesus in your life. And we want to celebrate with you. Anyone here in this room that has received Jesus Christ in this year, would you please stand and let us know, because Christmas is meaningless unless we celebrate with you that you have eternal life. Christ is enough for you, and this world means nothing to you. Christ is everything to you. Do we have anyone here in this room that we can celebrate with you today? No one? If you have not received Jesus as Lord and Savior, your life will be empty. That void in your heart will never be filled. Check your heart to see if you are satisfied. If Christ is less than sufficient for you, then your heart is not right with God and you will not be satisfied. But if your heart is right with God, then Christmas is complete. Your life is complete. Would you stand so that we can pray together?